Human resource management is a strategic approach of nurturing employees and ensuring there is positive work environment for them. In this chapter, we are going to understand human resources management in detail. I am Dr. Apeksha with 18 years experience in hospital and healthcare management. Now let's go ahead and understand human resources, the workforce, which is one of the important part of any hospital and which drives all the processes. Let us understand them in detail. Data collection and analysis. Let's begin with the data collection, where data about the current workforce, including information about staff positions, qualifications, experience levels, and their demographics are gathered. So this data forms the foundation for effective workforce planning. So while we collect the data, we understand what are the positions, what are the qualifications of the team which are working, and what are the experience levels. We should understand that, you know, for a particular position, what should be the educational qualification. So this is more about data gathering and analysis according to the demographic. This data forms the foundation, this data forms the base of effective workforce planning. Data analysis. After collecting the data, the necessary data, it's essential to conduct detailed analysis. Data, when it is collected, if we don't do the analysis, the data is of no use. So whenever we collect the data, we have to ensure that we do a detailed analysis, because data is the base which helps us make data-driven decisions. This analysis helps us to understand the composition and capabilities of the existing workforce. By examining the skills, qualification, and experience level of the staff, we can identify areas of strength, areas that may require additional support in the hospital. So we, by analyzing the data, we come to know post analysis that which area will require more support. Is the staff in that area enough, or do we need to provide additional support? Is there any manpower which is underutilized? So basically, data helps us to understand the system, the workforce system in the hospital. Assessing patient volumes and service demands. Projected patient volumes. Workflows planning involves taking into account the projected patient volumes. Yes, hospital revolves around the patient, and we have to ensure that if the patients are available, they have a proper service. And to have a proper service, we have to ensure that the workforce is available to provide those services. So projected volumes actually directly are dependent on the workflow distribution or workflow planning. This analysis helps in determining the number of healthcare professionals required to meet the expected patient care needs. By aligning staffing with the patient demand, the hospital can maintain efficient operations. So if we want to have an efficient and effective operations, we have to ensure that the workforce which is in hospital is aligned with the patient demand, is qualified enough, is skilled enough to handle that particular process. Service demands. In addition to patient volumes, the analysis should also consider the service demands placed in the hospital. Different departments and units may have unique service demands, and these need to be accounted for in staff plannings to ensure that all patients receive high quality care. So when we call service demand, is a physiotherapy department, you will not be able to recruit a physician there. Okay, the department basically requires a physiotherapist there. It will require a physiotherapist technician there. So it is as per the demands of that particular department. The service is what that department provides. So phlebotomist in radiology department will be of no use. So when we plan, it has to be, we have to consider service demand along with the patient volumes. So what does that particular service require? So different departments, units may have unique service demands, and we have to ensure that, you know, we plan the staff accordingly and ensure that the patient receive a proper care. Identifying skill and speciality recruit requirements. The specialized care needs. Hospitals have a diverse range of departments and units, each with its unique care. We have an IPD, OPD, radiology, we have physiotherapy, we have diet, we have FNB, we have support services, multiple support services. So hospital is basically, it has diverse range of departments as compared to the other fields. The workforce planning involves identifying the specific fields. Like we spoke about a phlebotomist. A phlebotomist has a different skill, or it is his work specific skill, and that person can be aligned in that particular department. The specialties need to deliver specialist care in these areas. This includes assessing the need for specialized healthcare professionals like physicians, nurses, allied health professionals, technicians, and support staff. So here I have already given an example. Let us understand with one more example. If it's a physiotherapy department, we'll require a physiotherapist. If it's an occupational therapy department, we may not, the physiotherapist may not be the skilled professional there. We will require an occupational therapist there. If you are saying, IPD doctors, they are consultants, the gastroenterology consultant will not treat patient with surgical issues. So basically appendicitis. So we have to ensure that we assessing the need for specialized healthcare professionals, and the same support staff is available, the team is available accordingly. Tailoring the staff. Once the skill and the specialty requirements are identified, staffing plannings can be tailored accordingly. This ensures that each department or unit has the right mix of healthcare professionals with the expertise it needs to meet those unique needs. So let us understand the department of laboratory. It has a mix of multiple specialties. We have microbiologist, we have histopathologist, we have phlebotomist, we have technicians, we have hematologist. So we have multiple different skill specialty doctors coming in together, or the team coming together and forming the department. So to run that department, to ensure the smooth flow of that department, a multidisciplinary team or the multi skilled person or a team is required. So we have to tailor as per the requirement of the department. So if you know that a particular sample, so biochemistry sample in the labs are more in volume, we have to ensure that we have a biochemistry team there, which is the numbers accordingly vary as per the patient volumes. It contributes, so all these things basically contribute to efficient care delivery and patient safety. Developing staffing models and scenarios. Now let us start with optimal staffing models. Based on the data analysis and the projections, various staffing models and scenarios are developed. These models consider factors like patient acuity, service hours, case loads, available resources, and to determine the optimal staffing levels and compositions for each department or unit. So it is not only about a straight line, but it is also about creating the departmental, the manpower staffing should be created in a way that all the factors are considered. Ensuring efficiency. By developing staffing models and scenarios, hospital can ensure that their workforce is both efficient and effective. These models provide structured approach to matching staffing with the specific needs of each area within the hospital, enhancing patient care and resource utilization. So these, when you form a model, their approach is very clear. They match the staffing with the specific needs within the hospital, enhancing the patient care and resource utilization. So it helps us optimizing the staff, it helps us enhancing the patient care, while it also helps us in a better resource utilization. Incorporating recruitment and retention strategies. Yes, so once we have a plan, once we have a structure ready, once we know what are the requirements, once the analysis is ready, the next thing what we have to do is recruitment strategies. So workforce planning involves considering strategies for recruitment of healthcare professionals. Hospitals may need to develop targeted recruitment campaigns, create partnership with educational institutions, and offer competitive compensation and benefit package to attract and retain top talent. Yes, the hospitals have to develop, you know, a recruitment campus. It is very difficult for healthcare professionals, basically to recruit healthcare professionals. It's one of the tasks because the numbers are very less, the jobs are available, and the expertise is quite limited. So we have to ensure that we do campaigns with nursing colleges, technician colleges, and we recruit them once they have, you know, we target them and recruit them there. So we have a better quality of staff. Retention initiatives. See, when we employ, do recruitment, or the employees recruited in the hospital or any organization, the retention is also equally important. Otherwise, it is going to impact your hospital. For example, if a person is recruited as a phlebotomist, you train him, you tell him, teach him the processes, you make him understand how the service in the hospital works or how the protocol and processes are, and then eventually the staff leaves. You have spent almost 3 months training the staff, and next 3 months the staff leaves. In a 6 months, you again have a new person, you have to re-again train the person. So retaining the staff is one of the important strategies which has to be followed in human resource management. In addition to recruitment, retention strategies are crucial, very crucial. This involves implementing initiatives to enhance employee engagement and satisfaction. We have to ensure that, you know, employees are happy in the workplace. They are satisfied with the work, what they are doing. There is a lot of employee engagement process, you know, practices what are to be followed. By focusing on the well-being and professional development of healthcare workforce, hospitals can retain experienced staff. So you have to focus on employee well-being. You have to focus on their professional growth. You have to focus on their, you know, basically whatever issues they come across, you have to support, guide them. So, you know, the employee is retained in the hospital. Introduction to recruitment and selection. So how does a recruitment happen? A manpower recruitment is a critical process and actually a very long process, I must say. These critical processes involved attracting, assessing, and selecting qualified healthcare professionals. First, you have to, you know, search for a qualified healthcare professionals. You have to we have to conduct thorough job analysis to define a specific requirement. So, you know, before you start recruiting, you have to understand what is the need of the hospital, what is the need of the job. We have to do job analysis. We have to understand what responsibilities that particular staff is going to have, what qualification is required. So once you know, you set up these benchmarks or these parameters, you go ahead. This data is used to create a comprehensive job description analysis, outlining key duties and the skills required for the role. Then, a recruitment strategy. Hospitals develop recruitment strategy to attract pool of qualified candidates. This includes determining the appropriate recruitment channels such as online job, recruitment partners, hospital websites, professional networks. So there are multiple, you know, places where you publish the job or you display your requirements. Hospital may also leverage the internal talent pool. So when we say internal talent pool, they, you know, that is in-house recruitment where we give opportunities to the in-house team if there is a position available which they are suitable for. So our first approach should be, you know, leveraging the internal talent pool, employee referrals, and then partnership with the educational institutions. Advertisement and posting. Job openings are advertised and posted through various channels identified in the recruitment strategy. So the advertisement should clearly communicate the position requirements, responsibilities, and benefits to attract the suitable candidates. You know, you have to define the things what you require in a candidate quite well. Otherwise, you may receive a vague resume, and then from the list, or you know, from this huge pool of vague resumes, finding the right candidate will be difficult. So you have to ensure that there is a clear communication in the advertisement. The hospitals often use a combination of online and offline advertising to reach a broader candidate base. The selection process and onboarding. So now that the recruitment advertisements have gone, you have you know, received multiple applications. Now the role starts of application screening. Like I told you, if you do not specify what are your requirements, you may get a vague resumes or vague applications which are not suitable as per your job, job created. So you have to ensure that right applications are received, and further application screening has to be done. HR professionals screen the received applications, resumes, cover letters to identify candidates who meet the minimum qualification for the position. So they ensure that whatever the criteria, at least minimum qualifications for the positions are met. They assess the candidate's education, experience, skills and relevant certificates or licenses. Interviewing. Once the candidate is application of screening is done, then interviewing process starts. So first the candidate is shortlisted from the pool of applications received. Then the candidates are invited for an interview, which may include multiple rounds as per the organization specifications or organization's requirements and different interview formats. Common interview types in the hospital include behavioral interviews, panel interviews and technical assessment. The interviews aim to evaluate candidates' knowledge, skill, competency and fit with the hospital culture. So while they are getting interviewed, they are interviewed whether they are a proper fit for the hospital, whether they acquire the knowledge which is required to the hospital, whether they have the skills and whether they will fit in the hospital culture. See, it is very important to fitting in the hospital culture, but if, because that helps us in team building, that helps us in retention. Reference and background checks. Now, once the candidate is shortlisted, we go ahead and we do background checks of the candidate. We have to ensure whatever is documented in the resumes or in the applications is rightly mentioned, because we are going to hire this we have shortlisted the candidate. Following the interviews, the reference checks are conducted by contacting the provided reference to gather insights into candidate's work history, performance and character. So we have to analyze whether the qualifications are right or not, whether his work history documented is right or not, how well was he performing in his previous organization, were there any character issues in the previous organizations, are there any police complaints. So we do a proper background verification and background checks, reference checks here. Background checks includes the criminal record, the verification of education and credentials, and also ensure accuracy and validity of information provided by the candidates. Medical examinations. So once we finish the background verification, we go ahead with the medical examination. In some cases, the hospital may require candidate to undergo medical examinations and drug testing to assess their physical fitness and ensure they meet the health and safety requirements of the role. See, every role requires certain safety parameters or certain health parameters. So accordingly, the medical examination helps us, giving a his health status picture. Then post-medical examination comes a selection decision. Based on the evaluation of interviews, background checks and other assessment, the selection decision is made. And the most suitable candidate is identified, job offer is extended, including the details such as compensation, benefits, start date and other relevant terms and conditions. Onboarding and orientation. Once the candidate accepts the job offer, the onboarding process begins. This includes completing necessary paperwork. Now this paperwork has lot of forms which are to be filled, which includes about his detail, background, his qualification, his certifications. So basically introduce the new employee to the hospital policies. So later post paperwork, the orientation program is conducted, where he is introduced to the new employee, to the hospital policies, procedures, culture, facilities, which helps him having a smooth transition in the hospital. The significance of training and development in hospitals. See, it is always great that your team is getting upskilled, because the skills are going to eventually add to their knowledge, which eventually is going to help us achieve a better patient outcomes. So training and development are fundamental for delivering safe and high quality patient care. Healthcare professionals with advanced skills and competencies are vital for ensuring exceptional health delivery. The training process starts with the training need assessment. So how do you plan a training for an employee? First, you have to do is assess the need of training, whether this employee needs any improvement in his skill area or his area of, you know, work. Then extensive training programs covered wide range of topics. It includes clinical skills, patient safety regulations, communications. So programs are delivered through methods like workshop, online modules and mentorship. So once we do need assessment of the patient, once we do the need assessment of the employee, we provide them with the trainings as per the need assessment. In these trainings, they don't have to, you know, they almost don't have to go it offline. They can also do it through workshops, online modules and mentorship. The leadership development program focuses on communication, decision making, team building, conflict resolution. The continuous feedback and performance evaluations are integral to ongoing improvement. The skills and competency assessment help identify training needs and support career progression. E-learning platforms provide accessibility, self-paced training opportunities. Evaluation of training effectiveness is vital to ensure program meets the objective and enhance the patient care and staff performance. So I think this slide is self-explanatory. They tell us how skills and emergency, you know, the competency assessments are good for career progression and also for patient care, and it enhances the patient care and staff performances, and how e-learning platforms are more accessible for a working class staff who wants to upgrade themselves. Key elements of training and development. Training needs assessment. We have already spoken about training needs assessment. They help us identify skills and knowledge gaps. The assessment can be used as a performance evaluations, feedback, survey or incident analysis. So how do we come to know about training needs? Yes, we need it. If a employee himself tells that he requires a certain training, that comes under feedback. Or we do a performance evaluation and we found out there is a gap and we provide a training, or there is any incident which has happened in the hospital and we feel as a preventive action, if that staff is trained, we will have a better outcomes, or the staff will not repeat the error. The training program design. Based on the assessment, training programs are created to address this gap. So training programs are completely dependent on need assessment. These programs can cover wide range of topics from clinical skills to leadership development. Delivering training and professional development. Delivery methods. Training can be delivered through diverse methods like classroom lectures, workshops, online modules, simulation case studies, role playing or mentoring programs, depending on the nature of the training. So there is vast range of trainings and the methods of training, and we can always give the employee an option to choose which kind of training he wants to attend or which kind of training is he able to attend considering his work. Continuing the education. Hospitals offer opportunities for continuing educational and professional development, which includes conferences, seminars, webinars, workshops, and participation in professional association. See, it is very important for any person to keep on upgrading, upskilling himself. Unless and until you attend the conferences which keep you updated with the latest technologies or latest development in your field, you may not keep up with the industry. So we have to ensure that, you know, you have to provide an opportunity for your team for upskilling themselves, participating in the various conferences and seminars. Compliance training and evaluation. Compliance training. Healthcare professionals are provided training on compliance related topics, ensuring they understand and adhere requirements such as patient privacy, infection control and ethical guidelines. Training evaluation. Hospital assess the effectiveness of the training. So now that we have given a training, we also need to evaluate. We have to evaluate whether that training was beneficial, whether it helped the employee, what was the post-training assessments and follow-up evaluations. This ensures the training meets its objectives and positively impacts patient care and staff performances. understanding manpower performances measurement in hospitals. Hospitals rely on performance management to ensure healthcare professionals meet quality care standards and contribute effectively. So we have to understand how manpower performance is measured. So because when we recruit, we have to once you recruit, you also have to evaluate the performance of the staff. You have to have a yearly evaluation, you have to have quarterly evaluation, you have to have 6-monthly evaluation of the staff to understand whether are there any difficulties, is he meeting his targets or goals, is he compliant to the work what he is given on, is he seamless work is happening between the departments. So basically, to monitor the departmental progress, we have to ensure that we also monitor the performance of the staff. The key performance indicators like patient satisfaction, outcomes and safety adherences are crucial for assessing performance. So as per the designation of the staff, they are evaluated on their key KPIs or key performance indicators. So we define KPIs for every individual in the initial year. We tell them that these are the performance indicators and we are going to measure your performance according to these indicators, and they have to ensure that they meet the indicators well. Regular performance evaluation after feedback and goal setting opportunities, competency assessments, measures proficiency in clinical skills, communication and leadership. Peer reviews and 360 degree feedback provide comprehensive evaluation from colleagues, subordinates and supervisors. The patient feedback and satisfaction surveys offer insights into care quality and communication. So patient feedback is also one of the important tasks while you are having a patient facing job or a patient facing work. We take patient's feedback consideration while we are doing performance evaluation is being done. Quality, safety and benchmarking, quality and safety metrics. Hospital monitor key metrics like infection control rates and the compliance with the regulations. Patient safety initiatives like protocols to minimize error and adverse events. Benchmarking and comparative analysis. The hospitals measure the performance against the industry standards and peers. So there is a benchmarking which is to be done as per the industry standards. The quality improvement initiatives target improvement project based on benchmarking and quality metrics. Patient-centered care emphasizes on patient satisfaction, communication and experience. The compliance with the accreditation standards. The hospital work to meet all the criteria set by accreditation organization. So while we are working on performance review or performance analysis, we consider all these points. The continuous improvement culture. The hospital fosters a culture of ongoing assessment and quality improvement. So basically the assessment has to be every 3-monthly, every 6-monthly, every yearly to understand how well the employee is doing, whether when we review the performances, whether whatever changes we have proposed are they are met, or are the KPIs met, what is the status of the KPIs, do they need any support. So you have to ensure that it's an ongoing assessment and you keep on improving. It's an improvement continuously. Training, development and recognition. Continuous training and professional development. Hospitals offer ongoing educational opportunities to healthcare professionals to stay current with evolving test practice, technologies and clinical advancement. We have already learned about this in the previous slide, how keeping yourself up to date with the industry evolvement is quite important in giving care to the patient and for better clinical outcomes. The skill enhancement. These programs aim to enhance the skills and competencies of healthcare professionals, ensuring they can provide high quality care. So we have to ensure the team keeps on having skill assessment and competencies check. Adaptation to change. The continuous learning helps the professionals to adapt changes in healthcare standard, technologies and patient needs. Performance recognition and incentives help reward provided in the performance, exceptional performance, thorough program that acknowledge and incentivize high performing individuals. So when we the performance recognition and incentive plays an important role because it motivates the team, it motivates the staff in doing more better. They feel that, you know, they have been, their work has been considered, accepted and appreciated. The motivation for excellence. These incentives motivate healthcare professionals to consistently strive for excellence in their work. The career advancements may have opportunities for career and personal growth. So when we provide them with high performers, we provide them with opportunities for career advancement. Like we spoke about internal recruitments, where, you know, we know if a particular person is performing well, if a technician is performing well, we can, you know, consider him for a managerial position as per the skills and the qualification he has, but giving him an opportunity for a career advancement and the personal growth.